If you're visiting, if you're new, welcome to New Life. Pray that God would touch your life today, speak to you, work in your life. I want to start this morning with a little video clip. And what I want you to do, it's very short, you'll miss it if you're not careful, don't blink in the next few seconds. Watch the screen and watch the cute baby, watch the expressions on the cute baby's face. Okay, Phil, can we have the video, please?
Which one do you want?
Decisions.
Milk.
You want the milk?
He's smart.
A photo shall
me.
Good job.
Decisions. Decisions. That baby was faced with the decision and went for the right option, went for the baby's bottle. Why is it sometimes so difficult to make decisions? Sometimes I think perhaps it's not clear what the best choice to make is. Perhaps we haven't got enough information at that time to make a choice, and so we're not sure what to do. Sometimes perhaps there's conflicting desires within us. We want something that we know actually isn't what God wants. And there's a struggle on the inside about the decision we need to make. Decisions aren't easy. For some of us, we are rash. We jump in with both feet, make decisions without waiting for God's guidance. Others of us procrastinate, umming and ahhing over which choice to make. Decisions face us every day, some big, some small. Some, is it the bottle or is it the latte for the baby there? There's some new ones tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, you will have some new decisions. That's life. Are you ready for the choices that will face you tomorrow? We've been looking on Sunday mornings, discovering God's will for our lives. So the past two occasions that I've talked on Sunday mornings, I've been looking, our aim is to try and get better at finding God's will. And then once we've found God's will, getting on and doing it. I think it's helpful, actually, before we start, to see that there are three different wills for your life. Firstly, there's your will. God has given you free choice. You can choose. You can choose, and sometimes it comes down to, do I choose my way or do I choose God's way? Joshua set before the people of God in Joshua 24:15, Joshua set before the people of God a choice, which, to be frank, we face as Christians, we face every day. This is the choice before the people of God. Choose for yourself this day who you will serve. And the choices come round again and again and again in every day. What decision am I going to weigh? Is it going to be my way or is it going to be God's way? Sometimes, thankfully, my way and God's way are going in the same direction. And sometimes they're not, to be honest. Sometimes my way is not in God's way, but praise God, sometimes it is. So there's my choice, my will, then there's God's will for your life. Inside your mother's womb, when you were formed, Psalm 139 describes most beautifully and powerfully how God was there knitting you together, plugging you together, forming you inside your mother's womb. And this is a lovely verse in Psalm 139, 16, where it says, every day of my life, this is before you were born, every day of your life was recorded in God's book. Every moment was laid out before a single day has passed. God has a destiny for you. God has a plan for your life. God has a pattern and a way and a purpose for your life. Obviously, it's up to you whether you choose that, but God has written down, there is in heaven a pattern, there is a purpose, there is a way, there is God's way for your life. What a wonderful thing. So many folks these days are drifting around aimlessly, not knowing why they're here or what they're doing. As believers, someone has a plan for my life. And thankfully, it's the one that has the future in his hands, the one that knows what's happening tomorrow. He's got your future plans. If you want to ask him what it is. Thirdly, there's the devil's will for your life. Paul describes people who in 2 Timothy 2:26, these people are held captive to do the devil's will. So there are three wills on the table, as it were. The stark reality of daily life is there's a battle. Whose will are you going to choose? You were made for God's will. You were given your own will. And there's a devil who has a malevolent will for you. Scripture reveals the devil has schemes to try and trap you. He has things to try and ensnare you. And his will for your life is to tear down, to rob and destroy out of your life. That's the will of the devil. Our Christian life is often starkly seen. It's often about surrendering my will to God and resisting the devil's will. So what that means is often there is a battle of wills. Are you strong-willed? Is there a battle of wills in your life? See, the Lord's Prayer starts, halfway through the Lord's Prayer, we've got this lovely bit where as we cry to God, it says, God, your will be done. Your will be done. God, your will. It's a cry saying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Jesus, would your will be done in my life today? Would your will be done in my family? Would your will be done in my workplace, in this area? God, would your will be done? Not my will, your will be done. And then later on in the Lord's Prayer, it continues, deliver us, Father, from the evil one. And lead us not into temptation. We don't want the devil's will. We don't want to walk down those paths. We don't want to head down the paths towards the devil's will. The point I'm making this morning is that it's important to find God's will and get on with doing it. And over the last few Sundays, when I've been speaking, we've seen that there are a number of ways in the book of Colossians. We're studying the book of Colossians at the moment, Sunday by Sunday when I'm speaking, and what we've seen is that God has ways of leading us. We saw a few weeks ago that one of the ways God leads us is this lovely verse in Colossians 3:15 where Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. And what Paul is saying here is let the peace that God gives, the supernatural peace in your heart, be the thing that rules, that decides, that leads you. So when I know God's peace, I've got the reassurance I'm heading down God's path. When I lose God's peace, it's a check. It's an indicator. I'm moving outside of God's purposes. I'm moving outside of God's will. And then we looked last time at the verse after, which is Colossians 3:16, where Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. He's talking about the Bible and how the importance of allowing the Bible to speak in our lives. How the Bible is the revealed will of God for us. Lovely, we looked at the words of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 105, where he says, your word, God's scripture, is a lamp to my feet, that it shows, God's word shows through the commands, the precepts, the principles in scripture, illuminate the path, so I'm not in any doubt, this is the way, walk in it. So I'm not thinking, is that God's way or is it not? Because the Bible illuminates a path for me to walk down, which is God's will. And there's another way, there's a third way. They complement each other. Looking at a third way this morning that God speaks to us, that's explained in the book of Colossians. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. Where would we be without the Son that you sent for us? And this morning I'm asking, Jesus, would you walk amongst your church? Would you draw close to each one of us? Would you continue to speak into our hearts and lives? Father, we still our hearts before you for a moment. Could your word come to us this morning like a stone that shatters, like something that pierces through, something that speaks and changes, something that melts any hardness? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Last year, I got a new app for my phone. And this app was something that turned my phone into a sat nav. So I downloaded this app and brilliant, fantastic. I don't need the map anymore. Put the map aside. Now I've got my app. We're sorted. We were driving in Wiltshire. Our family was driving along in Wiltshire. Barb was driving. I was navigating, or rather my app was navigating because I had my app in my hand. And this voice was saying, turn left, turn right. on the screen, it's a little arrow left, turn right, like us. And we were near a beautiful part of Wiltshire called the Kennet and Avon Canal. It was fantastic, lovely part, one of the most picturesque part of that part of the country. And we're heading to a restaurant. There was a pub restaurant place that was doing lunch. So I set the postcode into the app, pressed the button, and the thing sprang alive, and the voice started saying, turn left, turn right, go 100 yards, all that kind of stuff. So off we went. Off, all was going well. All was going well until the app said, turn right off the main road. And so we turned right into what was clearly a housing estate. Obviously, it was a dead end. There was no way that was the right signal. At that point, my faith in my app wavered slightly, but being a persevering kind of chap, I simply asked Barbara to turn the car around, get back on the main road, and sat navs are, as well as being very things that speak to you very confidently, also they're very clever. So it immediately rerouted. It's for okay, so you don't want to go that way. I've got another idea. And so it started again saying, go down the main road. And so I settled back in the seat thinking, we're going to get there. I can smell the food now. As we're driving along, the app said, now turn off the main road to the path on the left. As I looked on the left, the road on the left, it said, onto the towpath of the canal. I was so humiliated. Barbara didn't have tremendous confidence in the app before we started. But once we were directed onto the towpath of the canal, it was clear that the app was going nowhere. So I humbled myself, turned off the phone, got out the map and did it the old-fashioned way, and yes, we got for lunch. I found out later, actually, that the app, I got the settings on cycle routes. And so, so no wonder, that would have been a brilliant route. Cycle route would have been brilliant. Towpath of the canal sorted. Would have been straight there, but of course, no good for driving. I was very humbled by that experience. See, sometimes we think that actually listening to God, being guided by God, is somehow like getting instructions from a sat-nav. As though God's up there and just beaming down instructions. The voice says, turn left, so you turn left. The voice says, turn right, so you turn right. And that there's some kind of arrow in front of you saying, go this way or go that way. As though we listen for God's voice from heaven to speak to us, and then off we go, simply following his instructions. God speaks, we follow. But I want to look this morning at this third way of being guided by God, in addition to the two we've found so far. Remember, we've seen that God guides us through this inner peace, a subjective inner peace in our hearts. That God guides us through Scripture, the objective truth of the Maker's instructions, commands and principles to live by. But there's a third way, another angle on guidance, and it's described in Colossians 2 verse 3. Paul says this, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of knowledge, of wisdom and knowledge. In the person of Jesus, in the person of Christ, God the Father has placed all treasure of wisdom, wisdom and knowledge. Every bit of wisdom, every bit of knowledge placed in a person, and that person is Jesus. Paul puts it like this in another place, in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 30. Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. Jesus, the person of Jesus, becomes for us wisdom. In other words, he is the personification of wisdom. Coming to him means I have wisdom. Coming to him, it's not that it's something that's beamed down from heaven. It's not like a sort of script to follow. It's not like it's something which is instructions like a sat-nav saying turn left, turn right. Actually, wisdom from God is found in a person. And so wisdom that I need in my life, I get through the person of Jesus. I'm not waiting for some words to come in my ear. I'm waiting for Jesus to show me. All wisdom, all knowledge, all that you need for your future, all that you need for tomorrow, the challenges that you face tomorrow and today are found in one person, and that person, of course, is Jesus. And that's the aspect of guidance I want to look at today. See, I believe often guidance by God is less about receiving instructions for God and more about staying close to the guide. Actually, it's less about finding God's will and more about getting close to the one who is God's will. Just to make it clear. Because God does speak through loads of different ways. We've seen that God speaks through his peace. God speaks through the Bible. God speaks through dreams. God speaks through dreams, and God speaks through visions. Sometimes at night, God speaks in dreams to us. Sometimes through prophecy, God speaks to us as a brother or sister brings a word, a prophetic word. God speaks through prophecy. God speaks through circumstances. Some doors open, some doors closed. God speaks through common sense. God has given you a measure of common sense. So let's quick look at the person next to you and try and think, how much common sense has God given that person? God gives us common sense, but God also sums it all up. In Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 2, lovely, listen to what it says here. It says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets and many times in various places. But in these last days, in these days we live, he has spoken to us by his Son. And the Amplified says, it spoke to us in the person of a Son, in the person of Jesus. So what I'm talking about this morning is guidance, but less about receiving instructions and guidance as a list of things to do, and more about getting close to the guide. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 1:24. Christ is the wisdom of God. Wow. Wow, what an amazing thing. What an amazing thing for Paul to say. He's claiming that Jesus is wisdom. Do you need wisdom? Are the tricky things happening in your family, at the workplace? Are the difficult situations, struggles that you're going through? I need wisdom. I need wisdom in quite a few things in my life right now. And I guess you do too. And Paul's saying the place where that wisdom resides is in a person. And it fully resides, and it completely resides, and it's in the person of Jesus. And so the more I need wisdom, the closer I need to get to the person of Jesus. You've got decisions, I've got decisions, and the answer is in the person of Jesus. What we can't do is treat God like a sat-nav. God, here, I'm switching you on now. Give me some instructions. And then I could switch off. I just press the off button. I had enough of that one. I had enough of that phone. Switched it off. We can't treat God like that, as though we get some instructions, get on with it, switch God off, go and do whatever God's told us. It's not like God speaks through this voice from heaven. It's not like there's this voice speaking to us. A few nights ago, I woke up and it was early morning. Have you ever woken up where you're half awake and half asleep and you're still dreaming? It was that kind of lucid. It's a really funny thing. And I kind of was aware I was asleep and dreaming, but also aware I was waking up. And I could consciously realize I'm dreaming. And as I was dreaming, I heard a voice. And this voice said the same thing, repeated the same thing. And so in my dream, I'm thinking, is this in my dream? Am I just hearing something in my dream? Or is this something more important? Is this a voice from heaven? What is this? And so I'm kind of struggling in this kind of, you know, it's like that limbo land of awake and asleep. And where am I? So I was forcing myself to come to consciousness. And as I was coming to consciousness, it was completely dark. It was early in the morning. As I struggled to consciousness, what is that? What is the voice saying? Is it in my dream? Am I dreaming it? Or is it real? And as I woke up, I thought, yes, it's real. And it's in the room. And I turned, and right next to me, Barbara was, my wife Barbara, her face was very close to my ear. And she was breathing really heavily. And she was going, ooh, like that. And it sounded like she was saying something to me. The same thing again and again. I thought, is it God? No, it's my wife. No, it was my wife. It would be great if God audibly, and sometimes God does speak audibly to us, but actually, God desires, I believe, to speak to us in so many different ways. But what I want us to look at this morning is what I believe to be so important, that God wants to speak to you and I through our relationship with Jesus. That as I come to him, he is the one that's not just going to give me a list of instructions and say, Paul, there's your instructions for the day. Off you go and get on with it. But actually, he is the one who's going to guide me. He's the one that's going to take my hand and walk me through the challenges. He's the one that's going to walk with me through the things that I face. Because he is all wisdom. And so I can be very, very assured that if I'm in his hands, I'm in good hands. Jesus said this amazing thing. Verse very famous. Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus said, I'm the way. He's the way to God. He's the way for us to live. He's the one to follow. He is the one. He's the one for us to walk with. He is the guide. God knows the way. Forgive me if I sound simplistic this morning, but I wanted to underline that everything, the answer to everything is in the person of Jesus. God has given us his son. A number of years ago, the phone rang, the church office phone rang, and someone on the end of the phone said, I'm phoning up and I want some help. So, you know, I said, fine, well, how can I help? What can we do to help? And the person said, I'm struggling with demons and I need some deliverance. So as I started to talk, it was clear after the conversation went on that the woman that phoned up wasn't a Christian and obviously felt that needed to want to be free from the things that were pressing in her life. So as I started to talk to her, I said, the answer to what you're describing is the person of Jesus. He is the one who can set you free. He is the one that has the power over every force. Whatever force is harassing you and giving you a hard time and oppressing you, Jesus is the one. It's his power through the death on the cross. He's defeated the devil. So I was sharing with her that Jesus was the one she needed. And do you know what she said? She said something which has really struck me because it really kind of saddened me. She said, is that it? Is that all you have to offer? And I was dumbfounded. I didn't know what to say to her, first of all. I said, yes. I said, all we have to offer is Jesus. We've got nothing else because he's the only one. She was terribly disappointed and tragically ran off, never heard from her again. But you see, she wanted an answer, but she wanted an answer outside of Jesus. And sometimes, even as followers of Jesus, we can want an answer outside of Jesus. But actually, the answer always to everything is always in Jesus. Always. Many years ago, here at New Life, we had a visiting speaker from America. And this guy came over and we're doing a series, I think it was 4 or 5 talks. Every night there was a talk. And so we gathered the first evening, and he's a very good speaker. And the speaker was, what he did was explain our Christian struggle in kind of quite a really powerful and clear way so that I really identified with. And so as he was describing, I was thinking, wow, this is really me. I really identify what the speaker's saying. And I thought, I'm waiting for the end of the talk where he's going to say, and so what you need to do is. When he got to the end of the talk, he said, and so what you need to do is come back next night. Oh no. So I came back next night. The next night, he preached again, this time on a different area of Christian struggle. Again, that's me. That is me. I thought, I'm looking for the end of this talk because he's going to tell me the answer to two things now I don't know. At the end of the talk, he said, and so the answer to these two things is come back next night. So this went on till the final night. So you imagine I was on the front row, ready. I mean, let's hear it. I'm ready. Come on. So yeah, each time he'd identified an area of Christian struggle, and each time I was there, he said, and the answer to all these things, I was there thinking, what's he going to say? What's going to be is it going to be the 5 steps to success? Is it going to be the 8 habits of the highly effective Christian? Is it going to be 10 points to prosperity? Is it going to be the 12 milestones to freedom? What is he going to say? Come on, I'm there on the edge of my seat. And he said, the answer is Jesus. And I was disappointed. I was tragic. I'm so embarrassed to say. I kind of thought, oh, what an anticlimax. I was really hoping you were going to give me something to do. I was really hoping I could have some steps that I could work through. I was really hoping there was something I could get on and do. He says, no, the answer to all these things is the person of Jesus. And as I thought about it, I thought, wow, oh, I'm so glad that's what he said. Because if he'd have said something else, other than Jesus. That would have been tragic. Actually, the answer to everything all the time is always the person of Jesus. If there's any question about finding God's will in any part of your life, can I just say, what I believe is, rather than seeking God's will for that situation, if you seek Jesus in that situation, he is God's will. He is the guide that God has given us. And Jesus will lead us in that situation, through that situation, show us what God is doing in that situation. When I started living in London a long time ago, I moved to London for 6 months. Some of you know, I was living in a hostel. I had a tiny room. I had a bed and it had a wardrobe. I had no friends. Sounds like a sob story, this. I'm sorry. I had no friends. I had no church. I just moved to London. And I was grateful I had a job. I had somewhere to live. All I had was my room in the hostel. So I went to work during the day, came back to my room at night. The other people in the hostel went out to the pub, so sometimes I went to the pub with them. But more importantly, what I had when I moved to London, I realised everything was stripped away. Family, I was just a simple lad from Barnsley. Just a northern lad, come to the big smoke, 7 million people and me. And it's a very lonely place. I mean, when you first arrive in London, it can be very lonely. And there I was, and everything was stripped away. But one thing I knew that I had, shortly before that, I had become a Christian. And I knew there was me and Jesus. So there was me in this little hostel room, but I had Jesus. I had Jesus. And so I looked to him to help me and guide me. And first thing Jesus did was amazing. Now, I was working for a massive company, thousands of people on site, and God put me as my supervisor, as my boss, the guy that ran the Christian Union for the whole place. Fantastic. So immediately I was introduced to a load of Christians, had a support group to pray with and to belong to. Then God showed me that living with these guys in the hostel was an opportunity. It wasn't kind of something, oh no, it's terrible. Actually, it's an opportunity to reach out and to share God's love with them as I was going down the pub. And then he led me to a church. God led me to this church. It was over 30 years ago. But I was faced in that room there, that tiny room. There was me and Jesus, and that was it. But I want to say this morning, if we've got Jesus, we've got everything. If we've got Jesus, that's all we need. A few years ago, my parents went for a holiday to Cumbria. If you're not from this country, Cumbria is a beautiful part of northwest England. It is northwest. It's called the Lake Department. It's called the Lake District. Fantastic. Just awesome. It's like an advertising agency here. But you must go and see. It's just gorgeous. And my parents were on holiday there on a seaside place called Grangeover Sands. And they met a chap. Have a picture, Phil, here, the chap that they met. Here's a picture of the man that they met while they were there. This man's called Cedric Robinson. And Cedric is employed by the Queen. He is paid for his salary every year, £15 a year. 15. That's his salary. That's his full-time job. Do you think your salary is big enough? £15 a year he's paid. He does live in a grace and favour house for free. The Queen lets him live somewhere for free. Okay, so he gets £15 for spending money. But he's employed by the Queen in the role that was set up in 1536. In 1536, the monarch decided we need someone who knows the treacherous sands of Morecambe Bay. And so we need a queen's guide or king's guide, whoever the monarch was. And so they appointed in those days, presumably paid £15. It hasn't changed since 1536. I suppose 1536, £15 is a lot of money. It's not so much now, though. But the job it was it's a full-time job to guide people from Lancashire to Cumbria across these 9 miles of treacherous quicksands. It's a huge bay, Morecambe Bay. It's very shallow, so the tide goes out very quickly and comes in very fast. It's a treacherous. You remember the tragedy a few years ago of some Chinese immigrants who were killed. They were there working in the bay, and the tide came in so quickly and killed them all. Tragic situation. They're very treacherous sands, and so they decided in 1536, we need a guide. And that's been continued. And so this is the guy. He is, oh, he's gone now. And these are the sands. So these are the sands of Morecambe Bay. And the tide comes in like a flood across the bay and then goes out again and leaves quicksand. Part of it you don't know. Is that quicksand or is it not? And so you need a guide. You need Cedric. Every year, dozens of people set off and end up in quicksand, and there has to be major rescue operations. But he, as the sand pilot, here he is in the middle, he has guided 500,000 people across those sands in the last 50 years. So the last 50 years, he's been walking people across the sands from Lancashire to Cumbria, Cumbria back to Lancashire, guiding them away. Watch out, guys, there's quicksand over there. Don't go that way, there's quicksand over there. We're going to go this way. And he takes them, he guides people across the sands. And the thing is, there's no use him saying, what I'll do is I'll sketch out a map, and here's a map, you can do it on your own. Because the tides come in twice a day and change the sands and change the quicksands. So there's nothing but experience. And because he's a guide, he knows how to read the sand as he walks along. Here he is looking there. There he is, the guy with the luminous top. See all the people following him. So he's the guide and they're all following him. That's the front of the queue. You have the back of the queue. So they're following him. And the thing is, if they went to one side, there's treacherous quicksands all over that place. And so they have no choice but to follow him. He can't say, okay, off you go, and I'll phone you on your mobile and I'll tell you which way to go. He has to go with you. You can't just be sent off by him. Oh, watch out, just, you know, as you've gone about a mile, watch out, there's a quicksand on your left. No, you need him, and he's got a stick as he goes, so he can prod, and he knows which way to go. There's a quicksand there, there's quicksand there. He guides you. I want to say this morning that Jesus is the one that guides us. You see, we live in a world where there is quicksand to the left and to the right. The devil has set traps and schemes and has all kinds of things planned against us. Quicksand, if you like. And we need a guide. And thankfully, we're not just got God speaking to us and saying, get on with it. But we have a personal guide. That we have, not Cedric, but we have Jesus. We have someone that knows the future. We have someone that sees go this way and not this way. We have someone that will walk with us through the things that we face. This morning I want to say really kind of powerfully to us that I think for many of us we need to get hold of our guide's hand again. Because some of us have let go of our guide and maybe wandered off a bit. I think Jesus is there. And he's waiting for us to grab hold of his hand and say, Jesus, would you lead me? Jesus, would you guide me? Would you be the one that shows me the way forward in whatever situation? See, it could be my work situation. Could be things have happened at work. I don't understand what's happening. Things are difficult and tricky. I don't know, God, what are you saying? Should I change my job? Should I get a new job? I don't know what's happening here, God. I need a guide. I need a guide at work. And Jesus is there. If we'll get hold of his hand, he's there to move us forward. It could be in relationships. It could be in finance. For some of us, we've wandered off from the guide and got debt around us. We're ensnared by debt. We've let go of the guide's hand and we're burdened by money problems. Do you know what? If you're lost on those sands, there's one person I'd want to come and find me. It's Cedric. If I was on those sands, I started to sink down. I'd say, Cedric, come and help. Because he's the one person that would know, right, you get hold of your hand and not this way, it's that way to get off. And so even if you feel like you're sinking, like this quicksand of debt is sucking you down, if you cry out to the guide, he'll get hold of your hand and he'll walk with you off the sands to where it's firm ground. Whatever area of your life it is, whatever struggle in relationships, housing, whatever, tricky relationships, Jesus is my guide. David, King David said in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. He guides me. He guides me. He guides me not by remote control, not by a list of things to do, but he gets hold of my hand and walks with me. Let's close our eyes for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Just as we're praying, I get a sense there's some of us here this morning that feel we're completely disorientated. We're not sure what God's saying. We're not sure which way to go. There's a sense of just confusion over our lives. And I believe this morning, I believe that if you will cry out to the guide, to Jesus, if you'll cry out to Jesus, he'll be there. He'll grab your hand. He'll pull you out of that quicksand and he will walk you safely off the mess that you're in, walk you to somewhere safe ground, to still waters. Jesus. Jesus. If that's you today, would you say in your heart, God, that is me. Jesus, would you come into this situation? I need you to come, Jesus. Some of us are overwhelmed by the decisions that we're facing. Just frankly don't feel the wisdom to know which is the best choice. Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. Jesus is the wisdom of God. If you have Jesus, you have wisdom. If you reach out, get hold of his hand today, confusion will go. Jesus comes into that situation. Wonderful Lord. I want us this morning to worship Jesus, which is responding to him, which is simply lifting our hearts to Jesus, drawing close to him, that the guide would come close to you. Would you stand with me this morning? Lift your hearts, lift your eyes to heaven, to Jesus.